Welcome to Food, Farms, and Chefs radio show, where we highlight everyone from the top industry leaders to startups and farmers that make it all possible with Chef Jean Blum and photojournalist Amaris Pollock. Welcome back to Food, Farms, and Chefs, and I'm very happy to reintroduce our listeners to Dorothy McIntyre, who is the owner and founder of Forest Farmers Market, which is located in Forest, Virginia, which is like behind a library. So, you know, you can always go to the farmers market and then hit up the library while you're at it. But you're also the founder of the Manita Farmers Market. I was making sure I said it correctly. But welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me back.
Oh, no problem. So a lot can happen in that little time frame because you were with us back in October 2023. So, and for anybody that wants to hear an extended explanation of, you know, who you are and what you've done and how you grew the farmers market, you can look up Food, Farms, and Chefs episode 250 to find that information out. But as a quick synopsis, let our listeners know who you are and how you actually became the founder of Forest Farmers Market and Manita Farmers Market.
Sure. So in 2011, I moved to an area that didn't have a farmers market, and it took about 45 minutes to get to the local farmers market. They wouldn't always have what I wanted. So my classic is I would come home frustrated, and my husband would say, you know, I come home frustrated, and he'd be like, well, you have to do something about it or just shut up about it. So
that's never going to not be funny.
I did something about it. And we can attribute it to him too. I'll give him some credit.
A little, like a 0.2%.
There you go.
But yeah, so you, I mean, I'm sure that you're busy, and I know that you have the I believe it's the Forest Farmers Market that still runs year round, but like once a month.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
For some reason, 3 out of 3, we have poured rain, January, February, March. So I'm hoping April will be nice and sunny. I'll take wind. I'll just, you know, don't want to be coming home dripping wet this time.
Yes. But not too windy either, because you don't need the vendor's tents like flying
exactly.
away.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that you have some tried and true vendors that, you know, have been vending with you at the farmer's market for a really long time. But do you have anybody new? Because I know when we last spoke, and I notated it because I was like, I don't want to miss talking about this, but you had spoke to me about, I lost track of where it went, a potential street Indian food vendor. Were you able to obtain
that? They contacted me. They were so excited. And then I think sometimes somebody that's thinking about it gets intimidated by some of the rules and regs, which are really not difficult, but you have to follow them. And I think that he was not ready to do that. Yeah, that one was a hard one because I was really excited about that, but that's okay.
Maybe moving forward, you'll still get him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, each week I probably get between 8 and 10 inquiries for the market. So somewhere out there, I will get some kind of interesting new vendor that's doing street food.
Yes. I will say that I didn't mention this last time, or at least maybe we did mention it and I want to notate it, is that you have English pub food there too.
I do.
And given we just, you know, went over St. Patty's Day, I know that St. Patrick's Day is Irish, but you know, a pub is a pub and pub food is always awesome. So
yes.
I'm just want to not give you a nod to that one.
What's interesting about that particular vendor is on Saturday mornings at the Forest Market, they bring English traditional breakfast food. So they'll bring Scotch eggs. They'll bring, I think they're called pasties. There's some kind of pastry that's savory that usually has like beef or pork or something like that. But at the Manita Market, that's an evening market. So this year, leading into that, we'll be able to have food trucks. So I'm hoping that they do probably the best fish and chips in our area. So
oh, nice.
I'm just so excited that I can now have food trucks at Manita.
Yeah. So. And I'm sorry, but night markets are so much fun. Like I'm more of a night owl.
Yeah.
So, you know, dragging me out of bed is always like a hard, you know, thing for me. Like and I'm older, so I got to like stretch a little and, you
yes,
know.
I know that feeling.
Yeah. And, you know, a pot of coffee later. later. And but night markets, you know, nighttime has always been my thing, even in my mother's womb. But like night markets are just so much fun. And like food trucks, I love food trucks, especially because a lot of startups, you know, kind of launch off of food trucks. So I love food trucks for that reason.
I'll flip flop back and forth between the two markets. But the Forest Farmers Market has had 3 food trucks / vendors that have gone on to brick and mortar.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's really cool to watch as they grow and then they expand to a brick and mortar. So pretty neat.
That is exciting.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what you've been up to. So by all means, please update me on, you know, the happenings and, you know, the start, because it's getting warmer out. So I know the season's going to start up and increase the weekends that you vend or offer the market. So let our listeners know, what have you been up to?
So start with Forest. Forest is 14 year. We're going to probably stay a little calm this year because we'll do a big celebration next year for the 15th year. I'm like already getting a little bit of things going on in my head and with people I've been talking to. So it's a little calm, but it not by any means calm kind of thing. I've actually this year we've been approached by a lot of ag programs, which is interesting. In June, I'm actually having a mobile dairy come because June is National Dairy Month. So they bring in a self-contained dairy with one cow and they'll watch them milk the cow and talk and have a little bit of a mini classroom. So that's going to be really cool. Another organization had it and they said it was amazing. So I'm really excited about that.
That is exciting.
Yeah. And then the Water and Soil District in our area is trying to get people more aware of conserving water. So they're going to come down and they're going to do programs at the market too. So that part's exciting because a lot of times with a private market, it's hard to get those kind of things. And they've been approaching me, so that's even better. So I'm not having to go out and search for these. They're coming to me. The local Montessori school is going to do a children's program for me.
Oh, nice.
Nice. They're trying to get awareness of Montessori in the area. So they're going to do a children's program for me, which is pretty neat. Let me think what else we're doing. Let's see. Oh, what I did do this year is we used to stop at Halloween. And I had a lot of inquiries about from the vendors and the customers that why don't, and then we would have one at Thanksgiving. So they're like, well, why don't you just extend it? It's just another 3 weeks. And that particular time period in growing season is phenomenal. It just, you know, that's when all the rich grains are coming in and the root vegetables.
Yeah.
So we've now expanded to the Saturday before Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Especially because one of my favorite things, even like growing up, it was, you know, was to walk around like farmers markets, like, and, you know, because they have a lot of things outside of just all the, you know, the produce that's available, which is always phenomenal.
Yeah.
But especially because the Virginia soil is amazing, by the way, it's like full of nutrients and that will, you know, that adds to the flavor and the bountifulness of the produce that the farmers grow. But one of my favorite things is just to walk around, you know, the farmers market in general, because yes, you get the fresh goods, but you also get products that are created by vendors who, you know, put TLC into what they're offering. So, you know, I even like looked up, I was like, some of the places that you have are like Hearth and Homestead for skincare.
Oh, her stuff is like crazy good. I have to tell you, I was a little bit cautious to put beef fat on my face, tallow. Okay. It is truly amazing. I ran out and I used my old stuff and my face did not feel as good. So if you can get over that, you're putting beef fat on your face.
I mean,
tallow and it's been, you know, it's purified and stuff like that. And it has great essential oils and stuff. Stuff's amazing.
Well, I mean, you have to think like the way that soaps are made, soap is made using fat too. Like I feel like, you know, people are probably like, there's probably somebody out there listening that's like,
but you know, one of them. And I was like, you know what? Let me give it a try.
Yeah.
I did not expect it.
Yeah. Animal byproducts. Who knew?
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's, you know, because it's probably going to make your skin very, very soft and silky.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I have this lady that does plush animals, which are that she crochets.
Okay.
And it's really, I did not expect that to take off because typically crochet work is beautiful and people do a great job, but people don't want to buy it. They want to make it. And she makes these stuffed animals that are like alligators and sheep and giraffes. They are adorable. And the adults are buying them. I'll see the adults have them on their shoulder walking around the market. It's really cute.
I was going to say, I'm like, I do not have the time or the inclination to actually crochet.
Yeah.
So I would be of the group that would be like, oh, I'm just going to buy it.
Yeah.
And support somebody who is artistic and creative and takes the time to do that.
Yeah. So.
But you know, some of the other stuff that I like, there's a whole list of like things that I wanted to go over, but we only have a certain allotment of time, so sure. I will get to it. You had mentioned, of course, some of the programs or initiatives that you're mm-hmm. bringing in of people that are, you know, I think it's wonderful that you're going to have somebody who's going to teach people how to milk a cow or at least see how to milk a cow. That's actually on one of my top lists of things that I want to do. And I still want to do because I haven't gone to the farmer that that is making cheese. And I had them on a few weeks back, but it's on my hit list. It's something that I think is integral to like know where your food comes from, how it's created, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But you have partnered with several different places throughout the years. And on your website, I looked up, you know, the partnerships that you currently have on there, which is, you know, Central Virginia Regional Rescue. So I have to assume one of the programs that you bring on is something with, you know, dealing with animal rescues.
They're a nonprofit and they're, I think, maybe 7 years old. They usually come maybe two or three times a month, maybe two times a month. But now the county animal shelter has now approached me and I'm coordinating between the two so that we'll always have some kind of rescue there to see if we could get some of the animals adopted out of the shelters.
Yeah.
So that one's pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool. Now, circling it back into like, because we are a food show, I want to mention the fact that you have Cuba's Cups and Treats, which is, like healthy alternative and handmade treats that one of your vendors sells. And I feel like I just blew through what you should have probably answered, but
That's okay. Now, if you want to talk towards the food portion, if you saw that we have a program with Society St. Andrew, which is a gleaning program. And what they do is they're a national organization, but they started in Virginia about a half an hour from where the market is. I think it was in the 70s they started. But what they do is they match up the market with an organization, and that organization sends people at the end of the market. They come in and they basically glean any of the vendors that have produce, and they get weighed, the products get weighed so that they know how much each vendor has
contributed.
And then that food that night will be in somebody's home.
So that's really wonderful. Pretty
cool. Yeah. And then the farmers do get a tax break at a certain level that
fine. But so does that at all coincide with the SNAP program?
That's a little bit different than SNAP because the SNAP is actually they're using the credit card at the market. They can swipe their card. The easiest way for us to keep track of that is through wooden coins. Mm-hmm. And they'll get the amount that they swipe in coins. But then I also work with the Bedford Community Health Foundation. They do an in-kind donation so that I'm able to give them additional funds when they swipe.
Oh,
typically, it's if they swipe for $25, I can give them $25 in addition to what they've swiped for. So it makes it so that they're able to get more products that are locally and nutrient dense.
Yes, and that's a wonderful program and a wonderful thing that you've done. So I applaud you for that.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
And so given that you have all these things, all these initiatives, how are you kind of putting the word out there outside of joining me on the show?
Most of it's social media. Now I do print ads. We have several magazines in the area that are like in the grocery stores that are free that I'm advertised in there. I'm sure somewhere in Pennsylvania you have the edible magazines.
Yes. We love them.
Yeah, we have a local edible magazine that we're in. Last issue, there was actually an article on me. There was an article on four different markets and how each one of us did our markets differently, but yet the same.
Yes. You know,
we approached it differently. So that was kind of cool. So like that, word of mouth, social services knows about the SNAP program so that they're able to get the information that way. So it kind of try and hit a lot of different avenues on getting information out of whether it's just the market or the SNAP program.
Yes. Now, let's bring it back to you in the last minute and a half or so that we do have you for the show, which is, you know, what are some of the things that we can look forward to? Because when do you actually open up your new season officially for spring?
So Forest opens April 27th for the full season. We switch back to 8 to noon. We are behind the Forest Library, and we will run till the end of the Saturday before Thanksgiving. Manita, which is interesting, is we were able to approach the Manita Library. So we have now changed locations so that both of them are similar, that I'll be having the Manita market at the library. And that one starts May 1st and runs till the end of August. And that one's the one that's 3 to 6 that we'll be able to have the food trucks with. The other one, it's a little early to have, you know, fish and chips in the morning. So.
It's all right. I mean, you can. Nobody like said that you can't eat fish and chips in the morning. So if that's your thing. But I look forward to like being able to share this. And I hope that you have a bountiful and fruitful spring season.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for reaching out. I love doing this. This is you're so comfortable to talk with.
Oh, thank you. Oh, and on that note, we ran out of time. So where can we find you online and in person?
Okay. Online, it's theforestfarmersmarket.com. Manita doesn't have a website yet. So I want to make sure that's a viable market before I start investing into that. And you can find us at the Forest Library on Saturday mornings.
All right. Yep. Well, thank you so much, Dorothy, for joining us on Food Farms and Chefs.
Well, thank you. I really loved it.
All right. And we will be right back after this short break.
To become a sponsor of Food Farms and Chefs and have your business or event promoted on two radio stations in Philadelphia that play on Tuesdays during drive time radio and on a station in New York on Fridays at 1 p.m., you can email us at foodfarmsandchefs@yahoo.com, ibfoodie2@yahoo.com, or arpolicus@gmail.com.
Hi, and welcome back to Food Farms and Chefs. And I am so happy to introduce all of you to Dori Fleekup, who is the owner of Bites and Blends. Dori, welcome to Food Farms and Chefs.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
No problem. I am too. Actually, you know, it's spring. Everybody's trying to be healthy. We just had a farmer's market on. Now let's move into some of the stuff that we pick up from farmer's markets and look into what you do and how actually, before we jump into that, how did you get into this business in the first place? Like, what is your origin story?
Basically, I am a very conscious eater. I was one of my dad and I, Whole Foods before it was called Whole Foods, very into like all the food and all the ingredients in food. And my whole family is very food focused and specifically like ingredient focused. And that's kind of what led me into going through a major health transition when I was in high school. I lost like 60 pounds of little, I'd say, overweight, learned a lot about food, what it does to me, and then went through like a major health transition. And that kind of led my down to the path of opening a healthy, fast casual restaurant.
Okay. Now, have you previously worked in the restaurant business or the culinary world in any way, shape, or form? Or was this just all self-learned?
A little bit of both. I guess did a lot of experimentation and work in my own house. My initial like endeavors in the food world was waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning before high school started, taking a frozen bag of mixed vegetables and putting it in the oven with plain tofu on top of it. And then I baked that and that was my lunch for the day. I would never eat that now. It's probably so disgusting. I didn't no seasonings, no anything, but that's what at the time, that's what I thought I should be eating. But I come from a gym background. So that's kind of what led me into the food world and more personal than like working in a standard kitchen or anything.
Now, given a gym, because I've been to gyms, obviously I'm an adult, I've been to a gym. But I've been to gyms before where there was, you know, of course, the coaches that kind like you would, you know, have them walk you through, you know, different programs on like how to be, you know, lift healthier and like how to, you know, exercise where it's positively affecting your body. But there was also gyms that I've been to where it was a little bit more bougie and there was like a nutritionist on hand. Have you ever worked with a nutritionist to create some of the menu items that you have?
So we haven't worked with like any nutritionists, but we actually like curate and craft all the menu items. The first step is my approval. So anything that comes in our doors is approved by me for like health reasons. And it's not like, obviously like some people are gonna like argue and say like, oh, no one should have like maple syrup or peanut butter or like fresh fruit juice, right? But like our personal beliefs is that food should just be as clean as possible. And that's what we just like aim to provide. Right. Like we do chicken, we do cheese, we do all of those things. But we aren't like too far either way. We're more about like moderation. And we just finished like all of our calorie counts. Our next step is taking menu items with labels. So for like specific menu items, what they're high in, what like diets they fit into. And eventually we would like to have like a nutritionist come in, evaluate everything, look at it, and kind of have that perspective as well.
Yeah. So I did look over your menu and your menu is actually quite extensive because when I associate like, oh, it's a healthy eating, a fast casual healthy eating place, like I just expect, you know, smoothies and like acai bowls or something like that, or pitaya, I think that's how you pronounce it. And like, I love mispronouncing things, you know, and that's it. But you actually have extended it where you have, you know, pressed sandwiches and you have, you know, so you actually have something that's probably like the least caloric healthy on your menu, which is that cheesy thing. It's like it's some way it almost looks like a like just loaded cheese burrito.
a cheesy overload.
Yeah, you know, which I would probably love, but eaten in like respective quantities. But
well, what it has hummus in it, so
okay, that's good. God, I love hummus too. But let's go over some of your menu items, just because it looks gorgeous. Like the more color that's in your foods, the healthier it is because the more nutrients that you're taking in. But you have everything from salads, totally taking over salads, to like smoothies, to fresh pressed juices. Do you do all of, I mean, I have to assume that you prepare everything in-house?
So everything, we make everything to order. So going back to like saying happy spring, like spring becomes absolute chaos for us. We monitor it on our watches, but basically like some days we're doing like 15 miles of just like steps because we're walking and running to the back of the store in the front of the store and constantly like refilling like stuff we're doing. But everything we make is like to order. So like the nice thing is like people can come in, they can monitor, like change out things, request modifications. We're really friendly for like different allergies, different diets. We are like always improving things as we go along, right? Like we just redid our gluten-free procedures to just make sure they're like on par with like what other people are doing, and so we can like protect our customers that are like celiac disease as much as possible. But yeah, all our whole menu items, everything is made in store, and all crafted per order. So it is it's a little like longer process, right? Someone comes in and orders, they're like, where's my food? Well, you know, it's not like Starbucks where we just pop the sandwich in the oven. Like we got to put all the ingredients together, wrap it up, and then put it on a panini press.
Yeah.
So it is like a little time consuming, but the quality and the like satisfaction is there.
Obviously. And I have to say that one of the other things that I saw that was part of your menu is you do half portion. So like, say you're like walking in and you want to try, like either you're not that hungry or you want to try more than one item, you actually do offer half sizes.
We do. We do half sizes, and we also have a full dog menu and repeat dog customers.
Wait, hold on. Explain what that is.
So we have we call it the Fuzzy Friends menu. It's basically a smoothie made for dogs with healthy ingredients for them. So like coconut oil is really good for their coat, coconut water, peanut butter. And we put it in a bowl so that they can just lick it up. And then we do a protein. We do a protein bowl and then a fruit bowl. And we have like, when we were like, you see dogs walk by and they just sit in front of a store and they stop and they're like waiting until like a current to bring them in to get something, or like, what are you doing? We have to go inside and get it. But it's really fun to have like the same, like, customers come in, get their own smoothie and get a protein bowl or a smoothie for the dogs. And it makes a really fun atmosphere.
I can bet. I definitely bet. Now, given that it is spring, the weather is starting to get warm, I know that people are going to start like, granted, they start kind of in January when they make resolutions, but I feel like they don't start until spring hits and they're like, oh, wait, it's warm. I'm going to have to put a swimsuit on, or, you know, wear less clothing. Crap, I'm going to have to like look at what I'm eating and be a little bit more conscious and exercise more. So I want to mention the fact that you have different juice cleanses and whatnot available too.
Yep, we do four separate juice cleanses, and we also have like, I guess, cold pressed juices in our fridge, and then we do fresh juices. The only difference really is like cold pressed juices can drink some now, drink some later. They're in the fridge, they have a longer shelf life, and then fresh juices are those made right to order. Typically, we recommend everyone drink them right away so they don't sit in the fridge for a day or two. But our cleanses are really nice for anyone who's looking to reset their body, detox, or just like I call it like habit kick-in. So like if you find yourself like in a bad or like habit where it's like, I shouldn't be doing this, like you're munching on chips too much, you know, like stressing out, just like, hey, we're going to like use this like one day cleanse to not really be eating the chips for the day or two. And then hopefully that kind of kicks the habit down the road.
Yeah. I have one chef friend who over the past, I want to say like 3 months, he has gone on several like cleanses, and I almost want to give him your name. Huh? And I almost want to give him your name so that he can just be like, go get it and then like have it on hand for when he decides like, I'm going to do another one.
Exactly. Yeah. And we have like the nice thing about doing juices and smoothies and having like a full menu of items, right? Like we have a lot of customers that will come in before they start work, have a coffee or juice, and then middle of the day they're coming back for a smoothie, and then the next day they're a sandwich. So it's like some days they're working or seeing patients. You have a lot of like doctors, nurses that are like the days that are chaotic, it's basically liquid only for like sake of conveniency. And then the other days they're like, I actually have an hour of lunch, I can eat like a sandwich.
Yeah. I'm definitely one that tends to have to like grab and go. So I need to get in the habit of having like something where it's a smoothie. I have gone like when I am on grab and go mode, I have like kicked myself in the butt and I'm like, okay, no. Grab this instead. It's healthier. And so it's just a conscious thing that you have to like kind of be aware of. And I think it's easier now that the weather is warmer. So,
oh, yeah.
But, one thing that I want to say is when I looked up your site, it seemed like it was geared towards being able to just order either for pickup ASAP or for, you know, pickup later on. So is that the QRS system that I had seen mentioned?
Yeah. So we are definitely technology driven. As my dad likes to joke, he pretty much tells every single person that he meets that we're cashless, that the only available ordering modes we have is kiosk ordering or app or pickup like via like partners or online ordering. So we're all about like presenting our customers with a bunch of options for them to like place orders ahead, get in, get out fast, and doing like, you know, having three kiosks for customers to order in store, especially in the spring when we're really busy, helps us like just cut down the time it would take an employee to take someone's order. And then, okay, now I have to go make something. So we're just always trying to like speed up our times, keep up with our demand, and like having the app available, having online ordering and all that stuff, and kind of pushing customers towards those like ordering avenues helps them get in and out faster, and they can waste less time like waiting around for food to be made and kind of go about their day.
Yeah. So that's always a, you know, a positive thing, especially if you are busy. Now, what are some of your more popular items? Because I know if I go to a healthy food place, I have a tendency of getting the acai bowls. But you have a whole lot of them available along with so many other things. So what are some of your more popular items?
So our most popular item, and like we actually are doing a limited edition shirt in a, like as an inspiration for this item. It's called the Nutter Butter Smoothie. It's basically like, I'd say like every other order, or sometimes we'll just like 10 orders in a row is only Nutter Butter or like some variation of it, like Nutter Butter with something else. And it's basically a peanut butter smoothie. And we put a peanut butter drizzle around the cup. So everyone has their own like variation of how they drink the Nutter Butter. If they wait till all the end and then all the peanut butter like kind of collects and then they lick it up, or they like every like sip they move in the straw around to like get the peanut butter on the sides, so they get more peanut butter. But it is our most popular item. It has oat milk, banana, we blend granola into it, peanut butter, organic maple syrup, and it's just like a Nutter Butter craziness.
Yeah. A dessert and a protein.
Exactly. Yeah. So like for me personally, I have it at least like 2-3 times a week.
I will openly admit to the fact that peanut butter is one of my favorite things on the face of the earth. So I would be right there with you. If you were like right by me, I would be ordering them on a regular basis.
Yeah, we actually have at least like off the top of my head, like 3 to 5 customers that have come in on multiple occasions or like ongoing, like twice a day for it.
Yeah. Now I have to ask, because I used to make green smoothies on a regular basis and incorporate spinach and kale and then balance out that like earthy flavor with half an apple. And what I put in for what else I put in for sweetness, but I have to say I went to a healthy food place that was fast casual and got one of their yogurt bowls, and it was interesting, but it was just like it tasted like the outside of like if you're going for sushi like in the seaweed or whatever, it almost tasted they had turned the Greek yogurt into tasting like the outside of the seaweed. And I was like, okay, so that's not well balanced. But I was looking at your ingredients and I'm like, ooh, I like that.
We have spent a lot of time taste testing and coming up with formulations and what goes well with what and how we can disguise some things into other things. And But sometimes we also have like create your own options that customers come in and they can make their own smoothies or juices or bowls. And then like our specific formulated ones, like we kind of put our stamp of approval on it. So we know that there's 90% of them all taste really good. And then 10% of them are like, they're not the tastiest, but we kind of make it work. There's a name like the health freak, right? Like,
okay,
anything with a name that might scare you a little bit is probably not as tasty as the nutter butter.
Of course. I'm sure there's a reason, like, and just when you told me what was in it, I could taste it in my head, putting the ingredients together. But what is, before, because we're down to like about our last minute. So in our last minute, let us know what one of your favorite sandwiches that are ordered is, and then let our listeners know where to find you and how to find you online.
Yeah. So our I'd say our most popular and my personal favorite is the Happy Veggie Wrap. It's recommended in the wrap. And we have it with hummus, tahini, Israeli salad, falafel, and the falafel is warmed up, and then we put on the press, so it's perfectly like warmed, and the Israeli salad isn't overcooked, and it's absolutely out of this world, super healthy, it's 100% vegan, and for any customers in the Philly area, we're in Dresher, so come visit us in person. And you guys can find us on Instagram at Bites and Blends, our website, Bites and Blends. And that's it, really. And the App Store as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Food Farms and Chef Story.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Of course. And we will be right back after this short break.
Join us on Food Farms and Chefs radio show, where we highlight everyone from top industry leaders to startups and the farmers who make it all possible with co-host Jean Blum and Amaris Pollock, with original episodes that debut every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on WWDB 97.5 HD2 and at WWDBAM.com and on your smart speaker.
Welcome back to Food Farms and Chefs, and I am very happy to introduce all of you to Chef Monica Glass, who has been highlighted in numerous publications on TV. You own your own business. I will let you get into that, but welcome to Food Farms and Chefs.
Thank you so much for having me today, Amaris. I'm super excited to talk to you.
I'm very excited to talk to you too. So we did a little bit of talking beforehand, but I had mentioned some of your past history, so I'm actually going to have you do that a little bit in a short stint for our listeners, just so that they can get to know who you are, where you've been, and how you've gotten into the culinary field.
Absolutely. So, I mean, taking it way back, my love for culinary began as a young child because my grandparents had a garden. And so I would always go back in the garden and help them out and then pick the fruits and vegetables and come back inside and cook with my grandma. So that's where I got the love of cooking. But fast forward many years, I went to Penn State University thinking that I wanted to produce film and video, and then quickly decided that was not for me, even though I still love doing that as a hobby. And then ended up graduating with a degree in communications and public relations, moved to New York City, started that journey, ended up not really loving that. Because prior to recording this, we were talking about our hatred of cold calling people. And that was my job, was to cold call a lot of people. And I thought that I was getting into PR for more of the writing. So I love to write as well. But I ended up constantly gravitating towards the food side of the company and volunteering on events and working with chefs. And eventually one kind of took me under her wing and convinced me that if I wanted to learn how to cook better, I should just work in a restaurant for free and stage and to supplement my education. And that is what I did.
And that was I wrote it down actually. This is how deep I went with you. that was executive pastry chef Deborah. I don't want to mispronounce her last name.
Rasticott.
Yes, Rasticott. And she was working at Gotham Bar and Grill in New York City.
Exactly. I just one day after work, I worked up the courage to go knock on the door and ask to speak with her and tell her, you know, I want to learn pastry. Can I work under you?
So I know I love pastries. I can kill a pastry and, you know, order more than one and not feel maybe feel a little guilty, but because I'm eating, I'm overindulging, but I do love a good pastry. But in back in 2009, and you had this on your website, so I'm not trying to like call you out on it, but you were diagnosed with celiac disease. And I would be so disheartened, especially if I was a pastry chef, to be diagnosed with that. So what was that like? And how did that just change your entire world?
Yeah, it flipped my world upside down. So in good and both good and bad ways, mostly good. Bad as in I couldn't do exactly what I wanted to do anymore. And I just really didn't even know if I, you know, my career in pastry would be viable because I'm just around flour and it was making me sick all the time. That was the bad part, kind of getting over that initial shock. You know, I might not be able to do this ever again. Yeah. But then the good was kind of I took it as a challenge to try to figure out how to create foods and desserts that no one would notice are gluten-free. And that I basically made that my whole mission because when I was first diagnosed, it was really hard to eat out, really hard to eat with friends. And I constantly felt isolated just because I was learning. I didn't really know much and I didn't know what I could eat. And I was the only person that I knew at the time who was eating gluten-free or had to eat gluten-free.
Yeah.
And so my mission is to create food and a space that everyone can eat together and no one's singled out.
And that's the bigger key. And also like, there's a lot of people who eat, not only eat gluten-free diets or eat gluten-free because it's a dietary need. There's a lot of people who just opt to eat gluten-free. So, I mean, the mindset of, you know, eaters out there has significantly changed because I feel like a lot of people are being more health conscious and, you know, they want to do what's best for their body. So you have, you know, made your mark in leaps and bounds by being a chef that, you know, has not only just, you know, your own brand with gluten-free related products, but you have a blog, you create recipes, you incorporate in so many different ways. So I'm sorry, I'm bragging on your behalf.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So, you know, but let's get into that a little bit because, you know, you have all of that history and then we'll, you know, get into your new store.
Awesome. Yeah. So really just over the years, I really worked to create things that people wouldn't notice are gluten-free in it. Believe me, there was a lot of trial and errors and not always good. But I think now I did come up with a flour blend, Wildflower by Monica Glass. I'm only selling right now it's basically an all-purpose flour, but it's not an all-purpose flour because there are some things that, you know, it just doesn't work out for. So I don't want to call it an all-purpose flour, but I call it a pastry flour because it's very good for a lot of pastry items. And that is basically my signature flour blend. And it's a one-to-one gluten. And so many people are just like, this was gluten-free. And I think that really my goal is just that people can eat things and, you know, really enjoy them because food should be enjoyable.
Yeah. Now, I just out of curiosity, because I made gravy from scratch the other day. And obviously one of the ingredients to make the gravy is not just the au jus, but also utilizing flour to mix it in to thicken up that juice and create the gravy. Is this something that I could supplement for the regular flour?
Because you can. Yeah.
Okay. Because that's one thing that even when I was doing it yesterday, I was like, this is a lot of flour. I don't want to have this much flour in it. So I was like, you know what, while I have you.
Yeah, absolutely. I've made gravies. I've made a bechamel with it. It can substitute for that. It also works for breading. But predominantly, I like to say it's a one-to-one ratio for pastry because you can bake with it and not have it actually change the texture of things.
That's wonderful. I'll have to pick some up too, because I would love to try that.
Please. Yeah, I'll send you some.
You know, and is there any kind of like baked goods that is one of your, you know, like Achilles heel? Like I have to, like, if you go walk by it, it's like, I have to recreate that.
Ooh. I really love working with laminated doughs. So just lamination, super fun. And especially it's even more challenging trying to make things gluten-free because it just doesn't have the same structural properties. I think I've gotten a couple recipes, like my Danish I really love, puff pastry. I've done my queuing amon as well that I had on the Clio days, the flour queuing amon, but I did it gluten-free. And I'm still working on croissants. You know, they're a little more unique. Challenging, but that's a flaky laminated dough.
Nice. Now, since we are talking dough, flaky laminated dough and croissants and what pastries, why don't we build into the your newest endeavor? And, you know, you're moving back to Boston or back to Massachusetts into Boston to open up Vervain Cafe and Bakery. So what's that like? And, you know, what are we looking forward to with your new store?
Yeah. So I partnered with my old boss, Ken Oringer. He owns multiple restaurants around the Boston area. And he's just a fantastic human being and restaurateur. And I'm super honored that he wanted to partner with me for this venture. And let's see. So his daughter's name is Vervain as well. And that's an ode to her for the name, but also because it kind of rings, it's my favorite herb, lemon verbena. And it, what's the word I'm looking for? It's aligned with my wildflower brand as well. So we're just a couple weeks out. We don't have an exact opening date right now because, you know, as goes with openings, we've hit a few bumps in the road, but we're almost there. It's going to be a very earthy but funky boho Parisian inspired vibe. So you're going to have cuisine from my background, Ken's background, and what kind of influences us and our experiences that we've had. So it'll be breakfast and lunch, breads, pastries, everything made in house, soup, salad, sandwiches, breakfast bowls, some fresh juices. I'm really looking to partner with a local coffee company as well. I'm going to try to get some local kombucha and then other local like ferments. Mm-hmm. And just really highlight the beautiful produce and products that are made around here in the Boston area.
I think that's wonderful. And I haven't been to Boston since I was a kid. I think I was maybe somewhere between the ages of like 12 and like 16. I know that's a large space.
You are due for a visit.
I really am due for a visit because I feel like even as a kid, like you don't get to fully experience Boston the way that Boston can be experienced. I had fun. We were young. And so of course we had like somebody watching over us at all times, although we did sneak out. But we weren't bad. We were not bad. We went to like IHOP or whatever. So it wasn't like we snuck out. And I'm getting off topic. The point that I was going to get at is I would love to revisit Boston and experience everything that it has, you know, available, but I would love to come visit you after you guys open.
Yeah, I would love that. So hopefully another month, a couple more weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'll definitely keep you posted.
That's wonderful. Now, what are some of, like, I'm assuming that some of the menu items have been nailed down because nailing down or getting like a date to open, there's always hiccups with, you know, different things aspect wise physically in the place. But I'm sure you have the menu nailed down. So walk us through some of the items because I think you have it entirely gluten free.
I'm not allowed to say right now. We're
not. Oh, no. All right. Well, you know, that was my vain attempt, haha, to get you to open up. But so since we can't talk about that, let's like revert back to your website, because on top of all of the other things that you're a very busy woman, all of the other things that you have going on, you also have your website, which people can, I think, take cooking classes from you too.
Mm-hmm. I offer cooking classes and private chefing, personal, like private chef, stumbling over my words here, private chefing and like for dinners and parties and events. Kind of taking a little pause on that right now, just because the cafe is busy, but I will be picking all of that up soon. And then I also do classes on Kitsch, and that will be resuming soon as well. Okay. But let's see. And I haven't updated the blog as often as I want, just time-wise, but I'm working on new newsletter formats, new recipes, and more things are to come.
That's exciting. Now, are you, because I feel like a lot of the classes you can take classes online and follow through your laptop and whatnot, and you can see what the student or whoever is taking the classes from you is doing. But because you're balancing so many things, are you going to continue doing that online through Boston, Massachusetts, or are you going to bounce between Philly and Boston?
Right now, it'll just be Boston. Eventually, the goal is to kind of be in between both. I want to be closer to my friends and family and my boyfriend's in Philly as well. And, you know, hopefully this is a successful cafe and we can open more. And I would love to bring that to Philly too. Philly is home.
Of course. And so what else is going on? Because I mean, I feel like with everything that I read, you have multiple things happening all at once. So yes, all at once. Very, very busy. So, you know, do you have anything else that, you know, that you would like to promote or that's happening in your life that, you know, is exciting and new?
Really, I think it's just the flowers and the cafe that I'm, and then updating the website. But those are the main things that I'm focusing on right now. And I'm about to get my big shipment of flour in probably next week, I think it is.
Okay.
A lot. I'm getting 50-pound bags to use at the cafe. And then I'm also getting 25-pound bags of my banana bread mix and 2-pound retail bags. It's a lot.
That is a lot. Now,
4.5 tons.
Yeah. Now I will touch base on the fact that on top of all of that, that you have, cause you also have, I want to say almost a brand ambassadorship with Amazon, which is highly, you know, important because that's extremely accessible. And, you know, if somebody is new into eating gluten-free, they can go to your website and just kind of see some of the things that you've purchased or some of the things that you kind of highlight on your website.
Yeah, I like to share, you know, my favorite tools, my favorite ingredients, and just let people know that, you know, you can cook like this, you with the same ingredients and the same tools. It's not that hard. You just, you know, have to learn certain techniques and certain ways of pairing things. But yeah, everything's accessible at your fingertips.
Of course. And another thing that I saw is you're, in addition to being a chef, you are also a health and wellness coach.
Yes, I don't really do the coaching anymore. That was something I started doing during COVID and I loved doing it. It was great. I had some really great clients that I helped or who I helped, but I decided that wasn't the way I wanted to focus my career path. So I really want, a part of my overall goal is to inspire people to eat, you know, for them, healthier for them, whatever that means for them. But I didn't love, the coaching just wasn't for me.
Gotcha. But it's all right because, you know, at least you tried and you now know that of yourself and,
yeah,
you know, you're flourishing in other ways. So that's always a good thing. No problem. Now for anybody who is out there, like you do have the blog and you do have prior recipes that you've created that are gluten-free. So for anybody that is out there, you know, wondering like what they can create with some of the wildflower that you plugged that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's actually one of the things that I'm working on right now with the email. I'm working on a new lead magnet and an email sequence that will provide you with recipes that you can use flour for. And then my goal is also to start creating more content around recipes that include the wildflower as well as on Kitsch too, just so you have that as a resource.
Perfect. Now, unfortunately, we did run out of time. So it goes by fast when you're having
fun. It really does.
It really does. So let our listeners know where they can find you online and where they can find Vervain and Wildflower and all of the things.
Yes. So right now I am most active on the website, which is www.chefmonicaglass.com. And you will be able to purchase the flower there as well, hopefully starting in 2 more weeks from today, our recording. And then you can also find me on Instagram at Chef Moni. I'm not very active on TikTok or Facebook. Instagram's my thing. And then Wildflower is at WLDFLR underscore gluten free. And Vervain Cafe is just at Vervain Cafe. And it's vervaincafe.com as well.
All right.
Monica, so a lot of places.
Yes, a lot of places. Monica, thank you so much for joining us on Food Farms and Chefs.
Maris, it was a delight talking to you.
It was wonderful talking to you. And hopefully a lot of people will like seek out your brands and, you know, people in Boston will go to your cafe when you open. But I wish you a lot of luck and prosperous times moving forward.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And all the best to you too.
All right. And we will be back every week with a brand new episode of Food Farms and Chefs. So tune in every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on WPEN and WWDV and in New York on Fridays on WMLD at 1 p.m.
To listen to the rest of Food Farms and Chefs, tune your HD radio to 97.5 WPEN HD2 or stream live from WWDBAM.com.